Welcome back in. Final hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Bills coming up on Monday Night Football. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Tim Graham from The Athletic, who covers all things Buffalo sports. Tim, good morning. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate you being with us. So, Tim, we were just talking about that, you know, that pass rush, the front four for Buffalo, and just how dominant they were last week against the Rams. How big of a strength is that for this Bills defense, and what sort of a factor do you think they play into this game coming up on Monday night against the Titans?
Well, it'll really be interesting because we're talking about two totally different game plans, or at least that's what we're used to in terms of play selection. To go from the Rams a little bit more, I don't want to say high-flying. I don't want to make comparisons to the greatest show on turf or anything like that, but they were the defending Super Bowl champions with a progressive head coach who at least the feel is that he's more likely to throw than run versus the Titans, which, of course, had the most rushing attempts in the NFL last year. I don't know what we want to extrapolate from week one when the Titans offense even went up 13-0 at halftime, had the same run-to-pass ratio in the second half than they did the first. I don't have the numbers here in front of me. You guys might, but I think it was only 42 or 43% runs even when they were already up by two scores. So the Bills, I think we're going to see a little bit I don't want to say a little bit. I was talking to Tremaine Edmonds, the middle linebacker, yesterday, and he's talking about, you know, ripping up last week's game plan just because you got to prepare for the opponent. And, of course, Derrick Henry is first and foremost in everybody's minds. And you would think heading into last week's game against the Giants with the Titans and the different faces that they have in their receiving crew that they would rely on Derrick Henry a little bit more. I'm not going to take a deep dive into it and pretend to know exactly what the Titans were thinking and what fronts and different schemes the Giants were throwing at them that made them want to throw more than run. But I think that the Bills are geared up for a punch-in-the-mouth kind of game, a rock fight, which is the phrase a lot of people like to use, which is fantastic, but it's getting overused, right?
Awesome.
Rock fight is a great phrase, but it's we need to find something else. Maybe we need to invent a new one, but
I still like it, but I hear you.
I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see that on Monday. It's what we saw last year on Monday Night Football.
So Tim, Von Miller, I thought he looked really good. He made a huge difference for the Rams last year. When I saw that, I mean, look, I've been, as these guys will tell you, I've been talking like Bills going 20-0 this year, like all offseason. So
yes.
I'm like totally
in the regular season.
And maybe they're so good that they could even do that. Like, give them a couple extra wins, they're going to dominate so much. But how much of a difference do you think he's going to make? And just their defense overall this year compared to last year's defense.
It is really stark, the difference that he's made in the entire team dynamic. And it's not just from an X's and O's standpoint. And we were talking about it, just there from the hop, you know, 7 sacks, 16 quarterback hits. I don't think we're going to be able to see that again on Monday night just because of the styles of the teams. But Von Miller is just incredible across the board leader. The guys who are, especially the younger guys, talking about how they just feel like better players by being in his presence. And that was borne out with some guys. The backups on the Bills roster last week were getting after it. I mean, Matthew Stafford was hit 4 times by A.J. Epinesa, who going into that game, if you were to ask the average Bill fan what he thought of A.J. Epinesa, they would have said, the guy's a bust. But no, he had 4 hits. He had a couple of sacks. Guys who just, Jordan Phillips, I want to say he had 3 sacks for the Cardinals all last season. He had 1.5 sacks and three quarterback hits. I mean, it was amazing. And they all point to Von Miller. We haven't even mentioned the fact that they didn't blitz once the entire game. They rushed four. Yeah. They rushed their front four every play. And so that's what Von Miller can do for you. He's so good that you don't need to rush the fifth guy. It's like having 4.5 automatically on every passing down.
Tim, we were just talking about the offense for the Bills as well, and obviously everybody knows Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and how dangerous they are. What about Gabe Davis and just the growth that you've seen from him? We all remember the playoff game last year against Kansas City, but he feels like a weapon around the league that probably doesn't get as much credit as he deserves. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm sure that if you did even a little bit of fantasy football research out there, you wanted to get Gabe Davis in the middle rounds because he is the number two target. Emmanuel Sanders leaves. Cole Beasley's gone. He's the clear-cut number two receiver on an offense that's pretty explosive, likes to chuck the ball around the field. And, of course, he scores the first touchdown on Thursday night, which gave him, well, I think at least five in a row. I think it was six in a row if you go back to the Kansas City Chiefs game. So Josh Allen had thrown six consecutive touchdown passes, and I want to say seven out of nine or something like that to Gabe Davis. So that's trust. And that's also with a tight end that Josh Allen likes to go to in the red zone. So, yeah, Gabe Davis, he's on the rise for sure. And he is just everything he does when you watch him on a game-by-game basis like I've been able to do, it doesn't surprise you. It just kind of, you shrug and you say, of course. You know, he toe-tapping touchdowns all over the place. The guy will use every blade of grass on a field to make remarkable catches. The concentration is off the charts. He's always open. Now, of course, when he's the clear-cut number two, like I just said, defenses are going to key on him a little bit more. You can't necessarily expect him to have the yards per catch and the big tight plays that he did last year, you know, 50-yard gains, 60-yard gains. And then you see him compete against the Rams and their defense, which is pretty good, and you're like, well, he did it again. So, yeah, the Titans are going to have to worry about way more than Stephon Diggs.
Talking to Tim Graham from The Athletic, by the way. I think I told you this. Tim is in my top three of athletic writers.
Okay.
Marcus Thompson, Dane O'Neill, Tim Graham. Wait. My top three athletic writers. Absolutely. I'm ranked 434.
Oh, cool.
At The Athletic. What's
Do
that, Tim?
Do we have that many?
No, I think we have like 100 some. I'm in the fours.
I see. I want to clarify, though, and you kind of did by giving it a little bit more context there, that I maybe – first off, thank you so much. You're a filthy liar, but thank you so much. I want to clarify that I write for The Athletic. I'm not an athletic writer.
That is fair. That's a very important point to make. Well, you wrote a really great piece recently, Tim, about Josh Allen for 1A. The Athletic was really good, and it brought up again something that I can't remember seeing this exactly. I thought Josh Allen was a bad pick in 2018. You know, the Titans were there early that season. The Bills weren't good. I was like, this guy can't throw. He's not accurate. Like, you can't teach accuracy. Someone has a bad jump shot when they're 20. Like, you're not gonna change your shot form at that point. And yet here he is. Just, it's astounding to me, and that was a big part of your piece. Just, one, I thought was really interesting, the comparison to Randall Cunningham. I had not thought about that, but I definitely see that. And then just the ability of Josh Allen to increase his accuracy. How much do you give credit to, like, Brian Daboll for that? How much of an outlier do you think he is in that way?
And talking to people who know, and of course that's the old chestnut, right? You can't teach accuracy, like you said. And so when you see somebody like Josh Allen, Michael Vick for a period of time was a very accurate quarterback, and that was his knock coming out of Virginia Tech. But the credit goes to Jordan Palmer and reworking the mechanics, and that's his off-season personal quarterback's coach, and he has for a lot of guys around the NFL. And they just have worked incredibly well together. And I think that a part of that, too, it can't just be Jordan Palmer. It has to be Josh Allen's coachability. You get these guys with these massive arms, and they've learned so many bad mechanics over the years just because they can, you know, throw the ball through the barn door. Well, let me say that again. That was a terrible metaphor, because what if the barn door is open? through the wall of a barn or through a mountain, I don't know. Uncle Rico, throw in whatever you want. They just have these bad mechanics because they can get away with it. And by the time they get to college or into the NFL, you just can't unteach get them to unlearn those mechanics. Or they're unwilling to, because they say, hey, man, I'm the guy with the golden arm. You know, back off. I'll do it the way I want to do it. And so, you know, Josh Allen's willingness to rethink everything about his mechanics, the way he thinks, obviously the way he processes the game. And that's one of the points that Phil Simms made in the article was accuracy a lot of times is decision-making, not just whether or not you can throw the ball to a certain spot. It's being able to read the defense pre-snap. It's being able to see what's happening in slow motion. And, of course, that comes with experience. And as we know that if you aren't really good right out of the chute for your first, at least, you know, maybe they'll give you the season two, season three before a team starts rethinking what they have at the quarterback position, and you have a flimsy body of work, you end up labeled, well, a pretty good backup in the NFL, or the guy just doesn't have it. But the Bills, with their coaching staff and the stability, they gave him the time. He wasn't supposed to start right away. Believe it or not, Sean McDermott thought Nathan Peterman was the better option in Josh Allen's rookie year, but they had to put Josh Allen in there eventually. But it's been amazing to watch him transform from a guy with zero college scholarships offers coming out of high school to two scholarship offers coming out of junior college. You know, going to Wyoming where he wasn't even supposed to start there, and just to become perhaps the best NFL quarterback has been pretty amazing. And you mentioned Randall Cunningham, and one of the reasons I wanted to make that comparison too is not just because Randall Cunningham was otherworldly with his ability to run and throw. You tack on a couple of inches and about 30 pounds, and that's Josh Allen, which makes him pretty dangerous. But Randall Cunningham is not in the Hall of Fame. He did not win a Super Bowl. He was great for four seasons, and then he had a comeback where he was more of a pocket passer as a backup from the Vikings that replaced Brad Johnson. But I wanted to also kind of say it as a warning that just because we're watching some otherworldly talent here on a week-to-week basis with the Buffalo Bills, nothing is guaranteed, and we still got a lot to go.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating game coming up on Monday night, Tim. Looking forward to it. Thanks so much for taking time to join us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Joe, you are at least my second favorite Nashville athletic writer. And no, man, hey, it's an honor to work with you. I love your work. And, you know, you've made my day by lying to me in a market that has no idea who I am. That's with the exception of a couple of dudes. Good to have you. Good to hear your voice. And, Rob, for you to have me on, it's a treat.
Thanks, buddy. And I know that you're friends with Kaharsky. We will not hold that against you.
I wasn't sure if I was allowed to mention his name. That's why I said a couple guys. I know there's some warring factions down there in the Nashville media. There I don't is. Know whose name I'm allowed to mention.
That's right. It's a volatile place down here.
We all love PK.
Tim, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim.
Take care, guys.
Tim Graham from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and the Bills. What do you make of this matchup? What sort of a chance do you give the Titans to win this game? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live this Monday night from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 5 to 7. Prior to the Titans taking on the Buffalo Bills, the NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Tim Graham from The Athletic for joining us. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans and the Bills. Do you think the Titans can win this game? What has to go right for the Titans to win this game? 615-737-1025. Joe, it is pretty remarkable to watch the continued ascension of Josh Allen. You know, that playoff game last year between he and Mahomes is just ridiculous, and one that we'll talk about for a long time. You know, he threw two picks in the last game against the Rams, and he still had an 83.9% completion percentage in that game. That's what you were talking about yesterday, like his ability as he's gotten, you know, a little bit more mature and as the years have gone on here, to take that check down. Like, that's got to be with Diggs out there, with Davis out there, Dawson Knox, you know, the ability to hit those little check downs, which they just killed the Rams with last week. It's got to be pretty frustrating for defenses out there trying to defend this team.
I mean, it's there all day. And if that's not there, then he'll take 7 or 8, sure. Now, one thing we didn't talk with Tim about was he should maybe take 6 and slide rather than 9. And come on, linebacker, let's go. I'm going to put my helmet in your chest. I still am blown away at times.
And he is 6'5", 240.
Well, I know, but it's, to me, it's just a bad idea.
I know.
Yeah, they're blowing out
the Rams. Especially when you're up 31-10, maybe just don't do that.
And they're blowing out the Rams, and he's out there looking like a lead blocker. It's like, dude, stop hitting people. But
he wanted a stiff arm.
He's a freak. Yeah, yeah. That was
impressive stiff arm.
It was a pretty good one. Yes. He's something else. But again, I'm interested. I feel like Vrabel, you know, and of course, you know, Shane Bowen, the defensive staff, I feel like they've come up with some good things. It's not like the Titans defense had a great night against Josh Allen last year, and ultimately they had to stop him at the goal line, and it was a great player making a great play when it came down to it, Jeffrey Simmons. But
well, if you ask everybody else in Buffalo, it was Josh Allen slipped.
Oh,
Jeffrey
right.
Simmons had nothing to do with it.
Josh Allen slipped. The ball was a forward pass.
Yeah.
Scott Norwood actually wasn't wide left.
Yeah.
No, but they still, overall, I feel like, have done a good job at times of confusing him and getting some key stops against him in the past two matchups. He just looks to me, it's one game, but even just going back to the game before that, like you said, that AFC title game, I just feel like he continues to ascend, and maybe he is. I mean, Tim Graham said it right there. You know, is he the best quarterback in the NFL? Is that where he's heading?
It may be where he's heading. I don't think he's there yet. But it may be where he's certainly on the short list. I don't think there's any question about that. Caleb on the text line says, remember how the Titans busted their first game last season and ended up number one in the AFC? They beat the Bills. Josh Allen's been overrated since he had those two good seasons after being garbage, and now everyone's crowning them Super Bowl winners. I don't believe that. I'm not saying the Titans will beat the number or will be the number one seed again, but they did figure things out and became a competitive team. I don't know if Josh Allen's overrated. That's the only part of that text I have issue with.
Yeah, me too. Everything else is fine. Again, you can't overreact too much to one game. And yes, the Titans had all kinds of obstacles last year that they overcame to have a great season. But no, Josh Allen is, come on. Josh Allen's the real deal.
Caleb texted back in and said, if the Titans put Caleb Farley on the field, Josh Allen will have a big day. They can't put that loser out there for any snap.
Oh, wow.
Some Caleb on Caleb crime on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Didn't see that one coming. Well, look, Caleb Farley wasn't on the field much. Was he bad when he was on the field Sunday? I guess I don't remember anything bad. I just noticed that he didn't play a lot. I mean, McCreary definitely passed him. And like Vrabel said, I mean, I think Vrabel's explanation makes sense. You know, McCreary on the outside as opposed to McCreary on the inside with Farley. But it still comes down to Ugo. They prefer him. They're better with him inside than Farley outside, which is surprising.
That's another one we're going to have to get to. Is it Ugo or is it Ugo? Because I've heard both. Is it Ugo Amadi or Ugo Amadi? We're going to figure this out.
All right. Well, we'll try to find that out. There may be. I'll look in the pronunciation guide in the notes. I've been saying Ugo. Ugo, that would be – I mean, look, your name's your name, but, you know, like I think of like an 80s car. But I will try to figure that out.
We'll see.
I'm glad you brought it up. We're the only show in town that's going to be honest about pronunciations.
Trying to be accurate. Yeah. You know, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine was pulling the rug over our eyes for 2 years, and now all of a sudden it's Ikhine, not Ikhine. We're just trying to get things figured out and on the up and up here on this program.
So, this is the time, Ugo or Ugo, to, like, lay it out there. Although it doesn't necessarily matter because people still call him Marcus Mariota. It's unfreaking believable.
That is true. Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, if the Bills don't blitz at all again, how many sacks do we give up? 5? Heidi, not very high on the Titans today on the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Heidi is just bombing today. Just bombs away. Launching.
What is your sense of how many Titans fans believe that they are going to win this game heading into Monday Night Football? Look, we've gotten a significant amount on the text line this week that feel that way.
So believe would mean, to me, believe is you would bet straight up on
yeah,
the Titans
I'm
win.
I'm saying win the game. I'm not talking about covering the 9.5 points spread, but win the game.
I'm going to guess. I mean, look, there are some fans of teams who are just like, I love our team and we're always going to win. But still, would you bet? Would you bet your own money on it? I'm gonna say less than 20%.
Oh, I'm going higher than that.
Yeah,
with Titans fans.
Yeah, believe. Yeah, like, not hope. I mean, hey, the history of the team is that we come back and win these games and all that stuff. But actually, say, oh, I'm confident winning this game. Period.
I'm going 40%.
40%.
I'm going 40%.
There's no way. There's no way.
Well, not everybody views the Bills as the greatest team of all time like you do.
Okay, so what's the floor of what the Bills are?
Huh. Well, the floor?
Yeah.
As currently constructed, maybe 12-5.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, then they're home, and your team just looked like crap. Again, we know the history, and I get it.
I'm just saying it's week one, and this has been the story with the Titans, is when everybody counts them out, they rise to the occasion, and they win. And they've beaten the Bills 2 years in a row. I think there's more belief in the Titans fan base in this game than you're letting on. That's all I'm saying.
I think
I'm not saying I share their opinion.
So, see, I think there's more hope. So, I would say, like if you flipped it around, how many Titans fans are absolutely 100% convinced they know that their team's going to lose this game? I think that's a low percentage. I think most of it is uneasy hope. But actually conviction, like, oh, absolutely, winning this game, there's no way it's 40%.
Let me read you three consecutive texts on the text line. Matt from D.C., Titans can win this game. I already made my money line bet. Vrabel always has this team ready. We will win 100%. Viking Matt on the text line says, I say 40% believe in the Titans. Got another texter that says, the Titans have the Bills right where they want them. And another texter that says, let me pull that last text up. Titans are going to beat the Bills. They own the Bills. Bills are coming off a high and mighty, and the Titans are coming off a low. The Titans will be the highest, more hungry team and come out with a win.
Well, per the text line, it's 100%. You're shooting too low, man.
I'm just
it's
saying.
100% belief.
I think there's a lot of belief out there amongst Titans fans.
Uneasy hope.
We'll Rams see. Game last year, though.
We'll see.
Well,
I mean, think about.
No, I mean, I understand the history. Now, Rams game last year.
Didn't have Derrick Henry.
We had. Oh, I know. It was the first week without him. I remember we had similar discussions. Like,
oh yeah,
wouldn't it be just like them to go win that? There's no freaking way, right? Yeah. Sunday Night Football, that team, no way. But wouldn't it just be just like them? And they did. That's the. I mean, that to me, bigger than anything you've seen from the Titans in one game or the Bills in one game, is the reason.
Yeah,
that's the reason there's any. But it's a different team that doesn't have A.J. Brown. Do I keep coming back to A.J. Brown?
On the text line, driven by Wilson County on Take.com. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including some odds that have come out from BetOnline.com that I just continue to just scratch my head at. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune into this Sunday's NFL Games of the Week on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The first game will be the New England Patriots taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers at noon, followed by the Cincinnati Bengals against the Dallas Cowboys. NFL Games of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we talked about the first version of this. As the season was coming to, you know, like the offseason was in full force, and they released these odds at betonline.com about like the first NFL head coach to be fired. And I think Vrabel at the time was like 7th or 8th on the list or something like that, which I thought was just ridiculous. He's the reigning NFL coach of the year. He just signed a new contract extension, and he's a great coach. Like, he's really good at his job. Well, if I thought that was nuts, it's gotten even worse. BetOnline has also come out, and Jamie Eisner was the one that had this tweet yesterday. Michelle sent it to us. Of the first NFL head coach to be fired, the odds at BetOnline.com. Mike McCarthy at number one. I think everybody could probably agree with that.
Yep.
Matt Rhule at number two. Mm-hmm. I have no issue there. Cliff Kingsbury at number three. It's going to be pretty important with him. We'll see. He's at plus 500 at number three. At number four, tied at number four, Frank Reich of the Indianapolis Colts and Mike Vrabel of the Tennessee Titans.
tied at number four for the most likely head coaches to be fired. First NFL head coaches to be fired. Frank Reich and Mike Vrabel tied at number four at plus 900, according to betonline.com. Am I missing something here? Like, is there a universe in which Vrabel gets fired this year?
I mean,
much less the first coach?
Can you imagine if, like, Lovie Smith and Doug Peterson just flip this division upside down, take over, and Vrabel and Reich both get fired? Now, here's the one thing I'll say about it. It's idiotic, okay? It's idiotic that Vrabel would appear anywhere in the list. I will say that once you get past the top three, it's hard for me to find great candidates for firing. Like, for example, go right past them. Robert Saleh, second year with the Jets. I mean, it's pretty early. Arthur Smith, second year.
The Jets, like, they're always in danger of being fired.
Yeah, right. That's true. So, I mean, fine. He's 10-1. Arthur Smith, again, second year. I don't think that there's anything to that at all. Dan Campbell, second year, crappy team. Anything, like, with those franchises, in particular the Jets and Lions, any wacky thing is possible, but they're not great candidates. Ron Rivera, Pete Carroll, Kevin Stefanski, Kyle Shanahan gets down to, I mean, Kyle Shanahan at 28-1, what? So I mean, the only thing I would say in defense of this stupid list is that it does get, the pickings get kind of shockingly slim if you think about it. You know what I mean?
They do.
Using the NFL, you figure there's at least a good, like, five or six guys who are kind of at least close to the hot seat. And I honestly think that there are three. And then it's basically you could throw anybody else in there. But the fact that Vrabel would be tied for fourth is astoundingly dumb.
Well, I'm trying to determine what the reasoning would be to have him that high on the list.
To have him in consideration at all.
Yeah, like, is it – I mean, I guess it's tied to how they view the Titans of, oh, well, they were the number one seed last year, flamed out in the playoffs, and we don't think they're going
to
be very good.
And they're about to plummet. And some people believe that, and they may be right.
We'll see.
And even if that's the case, he's not going to get fired.
Like, look, I'll be honest with you, and I know it's only his second year, but with the expectations – The guy coaching tonight, like, is Brandon Staley not more likely to be fired than Mike Vrabel is?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I would think so.
Yeah, Brandon Staley, because of, again, remember, I mean, these are odds. So the idea is to get betting. Yeah, so it's like you have to keep that in mind. But yes, I would think that just because of the conversation around some of his moves last year and the conversation around a team that looks like it has one of the best rosters in the NFL would make him definitely a better kid. I mean, he probably should be fourth in this list. That's a good call.
And he's not even anywhere on this list. not in the ones that we could see anyway.
Yeah.
There are certain parts of this that don't add up. I mean, the people's champion, Dan Campbell, at 14-1 to be fired on this list. They're not firing Dan Campbell this year.
No, John, I'm with you, John, actually. Yeah, let's make it. How about 1-10 odds on Hackett fired before October?
Well, could be.
where is Hackett?
He's also not on the list.
I don't care. First year, I don't care. Hackett, get him on there.
It's like, even, and I know it's farther down, but like Kyle Shanahan at 28-1. Kyle Shanahan's a great coach. Like, yeah, he's not going to be fired.
Absolutely.
In a Super Bowl and an NFC title game with Jimmy Garoppolo as his quarterback.
I mean, no, it's idiotic. No, it's incredible. Kyle Shanahan is ahead of Brandon Staley on the list. Hey, who is there? Anybody else who should be on the list who isn't?
Well, I mean, I have no problem with the top three. Quite honestly, like, we'll see about Frank Reich. I think it's pretty clear to me
he's a much more viable candidate.
Much more viable candidate than Vrabel, and it's pretty clear to me that Jim Irsay has had enough of finishing behind the Titans, and that was his consistent theme of the offseason. And you know, if they don't win the AFC South this year, I think there's a pretty good chance Reich could get shown the door. We'll see. Everybody loves Frank Reich. Everybody loves Chris Ballard. We know that. But to me, he's way more likely to get shown the door than Mike Vrabel is. And yet here they are tied at plus 900 odds on betonline.com.
Right. Like, pay attention to the difference in owners. Now, look, at some point, Amy Adams Strunk may just come down from the top rope and fire someone and be like, whoa.
Yeah.
But based on what I have been able to gather, she fully supports Mike Vrabel and John Robinson. Fully. Meanwhile, you got Irsay over here on his private plane, you know, like basically like veiled threatening to fire everybody. I mean, there's a difference in tone from ownership, big time.
It's just it's crazy to me. It's funny how like I thought that him being like seventh or eighth on the list of whatever he was in the offseason was nuts, and now here we are and he's tied for fourth. Okay, all righty.
I mean, hey,
here's some betting advice for you. I would not put very much money on that if I were you. I'd probably leave that with the plus 900 odds of Vrabel being the first NFL head coach fired. I'd probably leave that one alone.
I wouldn't. There. Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, you know, I know McCarthy's only plus 350.
I mean,
yeah, if you're gonna shift some funds on this thing, I know you'd like a little bit better odds. But
although
yeah,
I will say that plus 350, one that I think could happen in season, is McCarthy going to be bad enough? Now, maybe with Dak Prescott out, they will be. I don't know. But one I think could happen in season that I'm not sure Jerry Jones would do in season, I think Matt Rhule might get shown the door in season. Like, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
If Baker doesn't work out, and by the way, I mean, they got beat by Jacoby Brissett and the Cleveland Browns on Sunday.
They did.
So all that, you know, the Baker revenge tour did not go so well for him on Sunday.
That's not what you're looking for.
I could see Matt Rhule getting fired in the middle of the season.
Yeah. I would agree. And a good top two. And Kingsbury is a sneaky.
Yeah.
You brought up earlier on the show. That's they got all kinds of issues, but that's a possibility. It is strange to me that we'd only have really three people, because I still don't. I think Reich, yeah, if it goes all the way to the end and they don't make the playoffs, then I think absolutely that's on the table. But I think there's a huge difference even with him in those top three.
Yeah. So betting advice, leave that one alone. I don't think Vrabel's going anywhere anytime soon. Ron on the text line, going back to the Bills conversation. Robbie, I'm not sure it's just what the Titans do, but what the Bills don't do as well. We stay penalty-free with not that many mistakes. I believe that we can win. They're hungry. Talking about the Titans coming up against the Bills on Monday. Alex from Montreal says, I feel as if they get blown out in this game, the season will be a debacle. So Alex placing a little bit more importance on this game than some others on the text line.
How many times have Vrabel teams been blown out? I mean, there's been a few here and there.
I mean, look, the game, based on the roster that they had last year, the score was a little deceiving in terms of how the game went, but they got their butts kicked in New England last year.
And they got their butts kicked in the opener.
Yeah.
By the Cardinals. I mean, the 2019 team, it was only 16-0, but that was still like just a disgusting display of football.
God bless you for watching that whole thing.
My gosh. But I told you that was the day that I got to see A.J. Brown tearfully apologize to Marcus Mariota.
A lot of talk about A.J. Brown on the program today.
A lot. A.J. Brown. Everybody, you're all clamoring for more A.J. Brown talk, and that's what we're going to bring on Robbie and Rex Show. We're the only show in town that's going to keep talking about a receiver who doesn't play anymore like he still does.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to look ahead at the Titans and the Bills coming up next. How the Titans go about trying to stop this front that Buffalo puts together. And what sort of a challenge is this going to be for Taylor Lewan and Nicholas Petit-Frere? We'll get to more of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe's favorite song coming back in. I'm interested to see, like, as the NFL season goes on, do NFL teams wear this song into the ground?
Do we know of any?
I didn't see any.
I bet you somebody used it.
I'm sure somebody did.
Vanderbilt, of course, is using this as its third down song. And they're not alone. I know. I don't remember who, but I've heard of some other college teams that
Nebraska's
have
used it.
Nebraska's
gone well
used
for
it.
Them.
Okay. it's great. I love the song. I mean, it's got to be one of the coolest closer entrance songs ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're
but
all,
that's it.
We're all going to be sick of it.
Very just soon. For the Mets.
Gonna be is left the train station
well,
for me.
Okay.
Buddy.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's out.
It gets me pumped, though.
I still like it. Like, I was kind of rocking it right there.
Yeah. I got a text that says the Titans are not going to win a game until the first Colts game. So that would mean an 0-3 hole for the Titans. I will say, I mean, we talked about the importance of this game earlier. It's week two. So it's not the end of the world. But, you know, the statistics are what they are. If you go down 0-2, your chances of making the playoffs are not great. Now, a couple things I'll say to that, because I've seen a lot of that on the text line. Number one, I think it's not all 0-2s are created equal.
Exactly.
A lot of it's where your division is, and quite frankly, this division's not very good with the Colts and the Titans and the Jags and the Texans, as we saw with that beautiful display of football that Indianapolis and Houston put on Sunday. So, you know, I don't think it's panic time if they go 0-2. And there's also a 17th game now. So a lot of these numbers that get thrown out there, you know, we've had a 17-game season for 2 years now. So it's a little bit different with the added game and the added playoff spot, too, by the way.
All of that for sure. And look, a lot of the stat that I read yesterday was 19% over 30 years. A lot of that is like some teams that are 0-2 are sucky. And so they should start 0-2 because they're about to go 3-13. You know, there's that too. If you're 0-2 as a good team and maybe you had a tough game, maybe you lost to a really good team and your schedule isn't that tough, then there's a long way to go, whatever happens Monday.
By the way, the Pittsburgh Steelers have put T.J. Watt on injured reserve, so likely going to be out the next 6 weeks as he rehabs from a torn pec muscle. The corresponding move, as you mentioned earlier, that they've made, David Anini from the Titans practice squad now on the Steelers active roster. So David Anini, pretty good preseason for the Titans. Did not make the 53-man roster. Was on the practice squad. Has been snatched away by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
After the Titans took Derek Tuska away from the Steelers.
Yeah.
By the way, I need to correct myself. David Questenberry didn't start. Now, Spencer Brown has been banged up, so I was wrong about Questenberry. Questenberry won't be out there Monday unless Spencer Brown gets banged up again.
At least not regularly. Swing tackle, maybe?
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is still good for him. I mean, it's not like Questenberry was all bad last year.
I'm interested to see on the Titans' offensive line front. This is a big challenge for Nicholas Petit-Frere and Taylor Lewan. Like, everybody's going to focus on Petit-Frere in this game, and I get it. He's the rookie, and, you know, obviously the Bills are going to try to attack him. I'm sure you'll see Von Miller lined up across from him a lot. I'm sure that the Titans are going to have to try to help him as much as they possibly can in this game. I think it's maybe not equally, but I think it's a big game for Taylor Lewan in terms of we're going to find out exactly where he is right now this week, I think. I mean, you know, I think pass protection as a whole was fine against the Giants. It's a big step up in competition this week. And in order for this Titans offense, who I think is somewhat limited anyway right now to what they are and what they can be, in order for them to maximize their offense, you have to feel good about Taylor Lewan over on the left side. And we're going to get a pretty good look at exactly where he is this week. He's not going to be perfect. I'm not saying that, you know, you got to panic if he gets beat one play and there's a sack, but all in all, he needs to hold up pretty well, and that is one of the more fascinating things that I feel like people may not be talking about enough heading into this game for me on Monday.
Yeah, no, it's look, I don't know how many matchups the Titans are going to have this year with as favorable or as little resistance as they got on the edges from the Giants. I mean, you know, the Giants are built to have a good pass rush because they've invested in the draft very prominently in pass rush, and neither of the last two guys were even out there. So that was one of the bright spots of the game for the Titans, but first of all, the difference from week one to week two is crazy. But even most of the year, I think they're going to be more tested than the Giants were even equipped to test them. So, and Lewan, big part of the whole idea of this offensive line taking a step forward this year is Taylor Lewan being peak Taylor Lewan. And I'm not ruling that out, but it does get harder as you get older and you have had serious injuries and all that.
Like, I'm going down the schedule right now and trying to see if there's anybody on the list that may be in the same ballpark as the Giants and what they saw Sunday in terms of pass rush. Like, Maybe the Texans? Like, I don't know. Like, the Raiders got Chandler Jones. Colts feel like they've upgraded their pass rush. The Commanders have some good players on that side of the ball.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that's the funny thing. I agree. The Texans would jump off the page. They were all over Matt Ryan.
They were?
I mean, but so what that means, I don't know. I think the Colts offensive line is they got some big-time talent on there, and they've got some questions.
They do. I mean, this is going to be a big test for the Titans on that front. Like, and then the other part of this, like you talked earlier about, you know, getting the ball out quickly if you're Tannehill, that short passing game, operating that way if you're Todd Downing and the Titans. You know, how much are you limited that way with the help that you may have to leave in on the line of scrimmage to help out a Nicholas Petitfrere or whoever on that offensive line? Like, is Austin Hooper going to be occupied, you know, chipping on the line of scrimmage? And does that affect him in the passing game? I don't know. Like, I would say it does it affect him in the passing game. He had one catch for 6 yards last week, so need to see a little bit more involvement out of him.
Well, and we got that question on the text line earlier, and I forget who it was many texts ago, but why was he invisible? It's a great question. I don't think that's it. And honestly, if that's why, boy, you really got to worry.
You got a problem.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. I definitely went out of my way to watch him at times, and there were some times when Tannehill could have gone to him, but, you know, went to an earlier read or something else happened. That's number one on my list of things that I don't think will continue is that. So I'll be very surprised if Austin Hooper doesn't quickly become a big part of the offense.
Robert Woods, Austin Hooper, Nicholas Westbrook Akine. We can make the name even longer.
I mean, could. I mean,
it probably is, Nicholas. But yeah. Just make that name a little longer for the Titans this time around. Like, they need to be a bigger factor.
8 syllables. That's pretty good.
A pretty long name. They need to be a big factor for the Titans this weekend. And look, I do think if you can give Tannehill some protection, like the Bills, they have a good secondary. But it's not like some elite level. Like, Micah Hyde's a great player, great safety.
Mm-hmm.
But
their safeties are very good.
Their safeties are good. You know, we'll see about, you know, Tre'Davious White. He couldn't play in the first game. He's a really good corner when he's on. But it's not like you can't make plays in the passing game against Buffalo if you can protect the quarterback. I just, with watching that Buffalo front, protecting the quarterback is going to be a big challenge in this game.
Yeah.
And we'll see if the Titans are up to it.
Get the ball out fast and run the football very well. Very, very well.
And as
very necessary.
Suggested on the text line yesterday, maybe we'll see a Malik Willis package in this game. Who knows?
Worth a shot.
We'll see if that happens in the red zone for the Titans. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back coming up tomorrow. TD joining the show tomorrow at 8 o'clock as well. So looking forward to his perspective on the Titans and the Bills. Chase, Willie, and D-Mays coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.